Good morning.
So I am Jesse Liebman. For those who don't know me, I am Pastor Bob's son and a seminarian here in St. Louis. Right now, we have Pastor Bob, Pastor Josh, and Miss Lauren all on the mission trip on their way to Arizona to help on the Navajo Reservation. So today, I'll be leading worship, and Pastor Bill, my grandpa, will be preaching today. And on that note, let us begin today in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. O Lord, our Creator, Redeemer, and Comforter, as we come together to worship you in spirit and in truth, we humbly pray that you would open our hearts to your word, so that we may repent of our sins, believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, and grow in our faith. Hear us for his sake. Amen. And let us now together confess our sins to God our Father. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us now sing praise to the God who forgives us.
place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Great to see everyone. My name is Lewis Johnson. I'm your elder today, and I'm going to be reading the first reading, which is actually a continuation of last week's sermon reading from Matthew 13, verses 24 through 34 and 36 through 43. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" No, he answered, because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into 60 pounds of flour until it worked through all the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowds in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear." This is the word of the Lord.
The sermon text for today comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 27. "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." This is the word of the Lord. Now we have the children's message. If the children would like to come forward, the Falls family has a message for you today.
Good morning. Come on down. I was so inspired last week by Mr. Teuscher's children's message. I'm building off of his. So if you are here, some of this should be familiar. And actually, I don't see him. He's not here today. Oh, okay. So I brought some seeds with me, and we can pass the big ones around. What kind of a seed is this? Yeah, these are acorns. Good job. You want to pass them around? I just need them back because these are really special acorns to me. Not only are they acorns, but they're a specific type of acorn from a bur oak tree. And bur oak trees live the longest of all the oak trees, and I picked these up off the ground behind my house where I grew up, and that's a very special. Okay, pass them around to the other kids. Make sure everybody can see them. Okay. That's a very special tree to me because I used to go and sit under that tree and gaze up at it and be amazed by how big it was. Now, that tree is probably about 300 years old. Do you guys know Little House on the Prairie, Laura Ingalls Wilder?
Yeah.
When she was a little girl, that seems like a long time ago. Okay, Rusnicks, can I have some space, please? Yeah, thank you. When she was a little girl 150 years ago, that tree was only halfway through its life. That's how old that tree is. And so I picked those acorns up, and I'm going to plant those because those are very special, and they might live another 300 years. How do we know those are acorns and they grow oak trees? They look like it. Will they grow a maple tree?
No.
No. Will they grow any other kind of plant? They only grow oak trees. Now, I got some other seeds, some that you might know. This one, what is that? You can pass it around, show the other kids. I got another one. What are those? Those are pumpkin seeds. How do we know that'll grow pumpkins? Will it grow anything else? Only pumpkins. Now, I've got some other ones. If you eat vegetables, you eat these. That's a green bean seed. Will it grow anything else? How do you know? And then there's some really, really tiny ones in there I can't even get out that are carrot seeds, which are about the size of a mustard seed. Mustard seeds, good question, Liam, because that's what's in our reading today. Mustard seeds are little tiny seeds, about the size of the point on a ballpoint pen.
What? It's a ballpoint pen.
It's what you write with, and a mustard seed is about that big, and it can grow into a big, huge, beautiful tree. And Jesus says, even big enough for the birds to perch on its branches.
A tiny, tiny seed makes a big...
So, who does the work... This is a trick question. Who does the work when the seeds grow? God's doing the work because He decided that this is going to grow into an oak tree. Let me ask you about faith. How do we know God is real? How do we know God is real? Because He gives us faith. We know that faith is believing, thank you. Faith is believing without seeing. Do we believe that this will grow into an oak tree?
Yes.
Yeah. And we can't see an oak tree inside of there, can we?
No.
But we know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Can we see our faith?
No.
But do we know Jesus died on the cross and rose again?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, here's the last piece to this. This acorn, it might make tens of thousands more acorns. Now, we don't really eat acorns, but the deer and the turkeys and the squirrels, they eat these.
You should be squirrels.
When we have faith, does it just stay with us?
Yes.
It does?
No, it does.
What do we do with our faith?
Everyone.
We spread it with everybody else. And what does that faith become? Does it become more and more and more Christians? And then where do we spend all of eternity with those Christians? In heaven. That's right. Can you pray with me? Father God, thank you for doing your work and allowing us to see it in nature. Thank you for planting the seed of faith. Help it to grow with your work through us. Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Wherever we go in the world today, we see suffering. Is that the way God intended it? Where does all this suffering come from? We see physical suffering, emotional suffering, spiritual suffering. And so often we cry out, "Why, Lord, why?" We know the answer. The answer is because of sin. Because God created such a beautiful place for us. Creation was wonderful. It was perfect. And then we messed it up. We human beings chose sin rather than obedience to the God who is our creator, the God who loves us. And so the suffering continues. But that's not all there is. That's not all there is. There's a promise from God that we will live forever with him in glory. But we have to die first. We have to live in this world. We have to suffer our time in this world of sin. But then, when the time is right, by God's time, we're delivered from this suffering into glory. We're delivered so that we can live forever with him in heaven. That's his plan for us. That's how he plans for his children. We are his children by faith. By faith, he comes to us. We don't go to him, not initially, but he comes to us. He takes us by the hand and he leads us into this wonderful area called confidence in him. Faith, saving faith, where we are confident that we are going to live forever with him in heaven. How many of you here are afraid to die? I don't see any hands up. That's a good sign. That means we're filled with that confidence of knowing that all death is a deliverance from this world of suffering to a world of glory, to a world of glory with God in heaven. How we are blessed by him so that we can live with him forever. Now, the world groans. The Bible says with birth pains. The world is suffering. We abuse the world. That's part of it, isn't it? We're selfish. We use the world for our own purposes instead of God's purposes. We think we own it, therefore we can do with it as we choose. Not thinking about what's good for the rest of the people. Or what's good for the world, that it can endure. And so we see the world suffering. But God is promising even the world will be brought into a new existence in glory when the time is right. Because of his love for us, he's preparing a place for you and for me to live forever. He tells his disciples he's going away. And when I go, I'll go and prepare a mansion, a place for you to live. He's going to prepare a place for us to live because here we suffer. But there, we're in glory with him who loves us and has cared for us. He has called us to be his very own children. And as a parent cares for his children, so God cares for you, each one of you. Is his special child. He loves you. He knows you by name. My wife is totally amazed that God knows every hair on your head. And I'm looking out over this audience here, and I see an awful lot of hair. God is aware of each strand. It's just amazing how God is so much in touch with you and me, that he loves us that much. And so we cry out to him, "Why, Lord, why?" We get back to that same answer. It's because of sin. Because we're the ones who are sinning. We're the ones who are choosing to sin. We say, "Not your will, God, but my will be done." You know, it's those I wants that get us into trouble, isn't it? The I wants, because that's what's really yelling into my ears, this is what I want. And what I want, I want. Where do my wants come from? They come from my own selfishness. They come from my own sinful nature. That's where my will comes from. Where does God's will come from? God's will comes from His love for you. God's will comes from the fact that He holds you in His hand. You are His very own children, and He loves you, and He wants what's best for you. And that's His will. Why do we not want to do His will? Why do we think our will is far superior? Because we're selfish. Because we have this inner problem of me first. You ever see little kids get in a line? There's always a struggle to see who's going to be in front, who's going to be first in line. My wife gets on my case when I drive because I want to get in front. I don't want to get behind a semi. I don't want to get behind some big truck where I can't see. I don't want to get behind some guy doing 35 in a 55 zone on Highway W. Me first, right? Why does Jesus teach us to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? You know, you listen to those words, and what he's really saying is, my will is not being done on earth. And that's why we're praying that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why isn't God's will done on earth? God chose to give us the freedom of will, didn't he? God chose to give us the ability to follow him. Our will still runs paramount. That's the most important thing. And that's why God's will isn't being done on earth. It's because we human beings say, no, me first. My will be done. And what does that lead us? That gets us into trouble, doesn't it? All kinds of trouble. Every time I listen to what I want, I find myself wishing I hadn't done that. Because it got me into trouble. You stand in a used car lot, and you see something that, oh boy, that looks good. I want that. Have we ever stopped to pray, God, what do you want? What do you want for me, Lord? Help me, Lord, to find the vehicle that you choose for me. Not the one that I choose for me. Well, I got the one that I wanted. Didn't last very long. It was an old van. It was really painted up nice. Had wire wheels. Within a month, those wire wheels were stolen. The steering hub goes all the way down to the front axle, and where it goes to the front axle, it broke off the frame. You know what? It doesn't steer so good that way. And unfortunately, we're like that. We don't steer so good either, because we're too busy listening to the I wants instead of the what do you want, God? What do you want for us? Our trust needs to be in Him, not in ourselves. There is a religion out in the world that is natural. The natural religion of the world. If I'm good enough, God will love me. Do you believe that? Do you believe if you're good enough, God will love you? My friends, God already loves you. It isn't a matter of whether you're good enough, because you can't be good enough. You can't earn His love. His love is so grand and so wonderful, you cannot earn it. It's a gift that God gives because that's who He is. If you look up in 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 and 16, very simple. John 4, double that, it's 8, double that, it's 16. John 4, 8 and 16. There's two words, three words. God is love. Now that's not talking about something that is what God is like. It's not talking about something that looks like God. It's talking about the very essence which comprises the very existence of God. He is love. And that's where His will comes from. His will is there for you. His will is for His creation. Because He promises even creation will be recreated in glory. We will be recreated in glory. Not because we deserve it. Man, if we ever got what we deserved, I think we'd be in trouble. We get what God wants to give us because He is love. And so we are blessed. We suffer in this world, but Jesus suffered even more so that we could be delivered from this suffering. That's the promise. As this world is decaying, is rotting, God is rebuilding. God is making a better place. A better place for you, a better place for me, where we can be together. Someone asked me this morning, "Where's your wife?" My wife is sick. She's been having troubles. She's 82 years old. She doesn't mind me saying that. As a matter of fact, I think she's kind of proud of that. But you know, the older we get, these old bodies just simply don't carry on like they used to. And so, she's not feeling good. And she's not here today. God willing, she'll be here next week. But I keep praying, Lord, she has suffered so much in her life with her eyes and with her heart, with her weak bones. Lord, why are you doing this to her? She is the epitome of perfection. She's a wonderful woman. I don't know of a better woman. And yet she's made to suffer so. It's sin. It's my sin that's doing this to her. As we continue to sin in this world, we came to bring more suffering into this world. It's so easy for us to shove it off and think, well, it's just a little sin. It's really not all that important. But they all are. Think, if you were God in heaven and you were the Creator and you loved as much as He loves you, how is He going to feel when you turn against Him by choosing sin? By choosing to rebel against Him and do what He said not to do? Or not to do what He said we should do? He's only giving us these commandments for what's good for us. He's looking out for us. You look at the law, look at the commandments. Which commandment is not good for us? Every one of them is good. And yet, one of the first things we learn in catechism class is we've broken them all, haven't we? All 10. You break one, you break them all. Why? Why, Lord? Well, okay, now we know, don't we? Because when we separate ourselves from God, we separate ourselves from His love and from His goodness. And so it's so important for us to remain here regularly. Think about who isn't here. Think about someone who you used to see in church, but you don't see them here anymore. Look them up and ask them, how do you expect to get to heaven? And I will guarantee they will say, well, I do the best I can. I try. You see, what happens is, little by little, the devil will institute this natural religion of the world into our hearts, which is false. We don't get to heaven by being good. We don't get to heaven by doing the best we can. We get to heaven because Jesus has already paved the way for you and me. He took away our badness and gave us his goodness. So we can stand before God in the judgment knowing that we are saved people. We are going to live there forever because he earned it for us. Over and over again, I keep saying, if my salvation depended just that little bit on what I do, could I ever be sure that I'm going to heaven? Of course not. Anytime I have to depend on me to do anything, is it ever going to be done right? But since God did it all, even sent his Holy Spirit to create the faith in our hearts, if he's doing it, we know it was done well. The Bible says, and he does everything well. The people were amazed at Jesus. He does everything well. And so was our salvation done well. We are confident that we are going to heaven. We are confident that God has a place for us. We are confident that God loves us. And in that love, we know. And so we're not afraid to die, are we? We welcome that escape from this sinful world to be delivered into God's paradise. This is our hope. This is our confidence. This is our faith, because God gave it to us. Let us use it always. Let us always be foremost in our minds and our hearts, that we be eternally grateful, knowing what our future is by the grace of God, by the love of God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
Please stand as we confess our faith together through the words of Luther's explanation to the Apostles' Creed. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. Let us come together before our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, bless your whole church throughout the earth. We ask that you protect those who are living through the hardships of war and bring a just and lasting peace to their homelands. We pray also for our city and local officials. Help them to govern with honesty and prudence. We ask you also today to be with George Middendorf. Help him to make a fast recovery as he is treated for an infection in the hospital. Please also be with Tanya Cuneo. Provide healing and answers for her as she continues to struggle with heart issues. We pray that you also be with the Mangrum family as they mourn the loss of Carol's brother, Glenn. Provide for them that peace which surpasses all understanding that only you can give. We ask all of this in your holy name, and we pray the prayer which you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me.
It's the hope for our tomorrows, the rise. unchangeable, unchangeable. You know the depths of my heart and you love me the same. You are amazing, God. You are amazing,
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. And now we join in our closing hymn.
Sacrifice, keeper of this life, hallelujah, you are Savior, beginning and the end, forgiver of my sin, by your mercy, you have saved us. Jesus, you are stronger, more than any other. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Jesus, you are higher, my soul's deepest desire. Hallelujah, you are Savior. You are the shepherd. Lead us by still waters. Hallelujah, you are Savior. You are my only hope. Your kindness is my friend. And in your presence, you restore us. Jesus, you are stronger, more than any other. My soul's deepest desire. Hallelujah, you are Savior. You are the way, the truth, and the life. You are my joy and my salvation. Stood in my place, taking my shame. Soul's deepest desire. Hallelujah, you are Savior.
You all can be seated. I have just a few announcements before we go today. First of all, thank you all for coming, and it's been wonderful worshiping together with you all. For the children going to Sunday school, they can leave now and meet under the banner in the narthex. If anyone has any special prayer requests, we have an elder who would be happy to pray with you in the prayer chapel. And at 11 o'clock here in the sanctuary, Pastor Bill has a Bible study on unity within the church. Go in God's peace.